What is up, my pizzas? Corey Vincent here, and this is a new episode of The Video Game Bang, brought to you by Oblivion Comics and Coffee, Mainframe.gg, VastGG, Energy Esports, and this guy right here, the blood, sweat, and tears he pours into this show week in and week out. He's wearing a Stockton Kings hat. Curtis Fisher, what's up?
I don't know what to say. Blood, sweat, and tears. Apparently, I'm shedding bodily fluids for the sake of...
I didn't say whose blood, sweat, and tears.
This is true. You don't. Yeah. So that means I may have murdered people. Didn't know that. So MK Ultra is the son of a gun.
Yeah. That's why we are Sacramento's number one Sacramento gaming podcast, because everyone's afraid to step up.
Yeah, or dead.
Yeah, or dead. David Webb, what is going on?
I don't know how to follow that. What's going on, everybody?
How you been?
I've been good.
Good?
Chilling, you know, like a villain.
How's your mom?
It's weird. She's good.
Sister good?
Yeah.
All right. Good. I'm glad to hear it. I mean, that's how we talk when we're not on the show. So. It's a new thing we're trying on the show called realism, and we're tearing down the barriers.
Sound like an old Jewish guy.
Well, maybe he is.
Before we go down that racist rabbit hole, we're going to move on over to Emma Skies. What's up?
I always got to start with a little bit of light anti-Semitism.
It's okay. I'm part Jewish, so it's fine.
This is the Mel Gibson edition of Video Game
Bang. VGB?
Damn.
You will not be joining us on the show.
Emma Skies, you went to a rock show. How did it feel?
Like the hundreds that I've been to before. I don't know how to answer that.
But you're an adult now, so concerts got to feel a little bit different than they did before.
I mean, I can drink. That's really the only difference.
Okay. All right. Dang.
I'm just saying, like, it's not a new experience.
Who did you see?
I went and saw She Wants Revenge.
She Wants Revenge.
That seems about right. That checks out.
Do you know who that is? I honestly don't know who that is. I'm starting to get to that point where I realize I don't know what stuff is anymore. What's She Wants Revenge?
It's a band.
wait, hang on. Let me think. Rock band.
Explain it like you're explaining it to your father.
Pop rock.
I mean, I wouldn't have to explain it to my father, because my father's actually the one that introduced me to them.
Dang.
So you can't even blame it on your age. You just don't know things.
I guess I just don't know
you
things.
You just don't know things. Shout out to my dad for introducing me to She Wants Revenge.
There we go. Daddy Skies. He might be in the chat.
He gets a shout out.
Yeah.
He does. There you go, Dad.
13 years later, he finally gets a shout out on the podcast.
Before we move on, anyone else want to give a shout out to their mom or dad?
Yeah, I'll shout out to my mom. My mom is awesome. What's up, mom? I'll shout out to my stepdad, too, because my dad is not so awesome. So yeah. What's up, stepdad? Do better, dad.
David?
That just happened.
Hi, mom. Hi, sister. You guys aren't going to hear this.
Video game!
What's up? This is weird.
Let's talk about video games.
Is it because today's Tuesday?
No,
is
it's because it's because I've been mashing the "What You Playing" theme song button over here, and all right, we'll play that one instead. All right.
What the heck? This is, oh my god.
Why is this even on your soundboard?
I don't know. There was an
unplug
update.
Unplug the soundboard. Let it go. It's not gonna work.
There was an up. All right, there we go. It's gone. So, what you been playing, everybody?
I've been playing NBA 2K. That's not new.
That's not new, but it is for me. I started playing the game, too.
Well, not over, just this year's version of 2K. You've played 2K.
Well, yeah, back in the old days. Yeah. But that doesn't count. This is a whole nother beast.
It is.
This game's like a simulator.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts.
I think I just got through the prelude. David, how far have you made it through 2K?
I'm in the very beginning where they say pick beginner, intermediate, or advanced tutorial while your game continues to load.
Well, that's only technically true.
On the PlayStation. Exactly. On the Xbox, I'm still in China.
Okay.
The Switch, I just got traded to a podunk town.
Do you have 3 copies of this game?
That's okay, but I've only bought one.
This game, you have 3 copies of 2K.
Anything I play it on, like anything I want to play, I could play the game on.
I have 4 copies of 2K. If that makes it any better.
This game.
Why so many copies for you, Curtis? You have 4?
Yeah. Well, because I bought one, and then I bought another one
to get signed.
To get signed, and then I bought one for Malik.
Okay, well, you got it as a gift, so I guess that counts.
Well, yeah. That counts. I mean, you know, that's technically his copy.
It's like it's your roommate's, but also it's yours because you live in the same house.
Yeah, pretty much. Exactly.
All right.
Same thing with the underwear.
So, David, you just made it to the...
Wait, we're just going to graze past that?
Yeah. That's what?
Okay.
David, you made it to that podunk town. What did you think of it so far? Because I think it's pretty freaking in-depth.
Wait, did you just get traded? You just got traded for a sandwich place, right?
No, I'm in the NBA now.
Oh, you're in the NBA now. Okay.
So you've already been traded for sandwiches.
I've already been traded for sandwiches. Dude, it got real there for a minute.
It did.
Yeah, man. I don't want to give no spoilers to David because he hasn't hit there, but I'm in a relationship.
Are there spoilers for this game?
Yes.
Yeah.
There is. It's a Spike Lee joint, Emma.
There's yeah. totally.
Spike Lee joint. Anthony Mackie is in it.
You know what I was thinking is that I was thinking of this game and like how much time they put into the story mode. Mm-hmm. And Emma, I think you might enjoy the game if you could get around the basketball part.
So I would like this game if I ignore the core,
just ignore the basketball
value and point of the game,
which is crazy. I know.
So what else? What else other than that? A dating simulator?
Well, no, because you don't really get to make too many decisions. Well, you do get to shoot the free throws.
Yeah.
When you meet her,
you make decisions.
Yeah, you make some brief decisions, yeah. But like it's not just a dating simulator. You're making rivals, and like you're getting traded for sandwiches. There's good
your
comedy.
Rival's name is,
why does this?
Guess your rival's name.
Is it Rival?
No, guess. It's Corey.
I thought the game was fucking with me. So your main rival in the game's name is Corey.
Yeah.
And I messaged the dudes. I was like, so does it just take your name and like make it your rival's name? Is that like the joke here? Is that what's so funny? You know,
Corey's the rival in all the games. And what's crazy is when you're in the G League, those two dudes, gosh, I forgot their name. But, you know, they were like a combo. They were on the Charlotte team.
Yeah.
They are actually from a previous 2K game. So they brought them back. There's like actual continuity.
That's continuity.
Yeah.
It's better than Game of Thrones.
It's like the multiverse, yeah. Emma.
Wow.
It's the multiverse.
I cannot express how little I care.
I've also been playing Borderlands 1.
Oh. Okay, yeah. How's that playthrough going?
That's good.
Is it really good?
I like it.
Really?
Actually, I haven't played it.
How come you sound like you're just like saying that?
I don't know.
You're like, I like it.
I like it. It's hey, great. Mikey, he likes it.
Because none of us know how to function on a Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm 100% thrown off. No, I really like it. I think I'm more confused on why you think I'm making it up that I like it.
I don't know, because I tried to replay it, and just I couldn't get into it.
But I haven't replayed it. That's the thing.
Oh,
like,
this is
my first playthrough.
Oh okay. But still, have you played 2 or 3?
No.
Oh.
No one's played 3
I'm
yet.
In that same boat.
You haven't played any of them?
I've never played Borderlands.
Oh my god.
And you know
what? Here's a second shout out for my dad, because the reason I've never played Borderlands is because he was obsessed with that game, so I could never play it.
Oh, okay.
He played it all the time.
Hey. You're just making up for the times you shout out your mom used to cram it all into one episode.
Yep. So, I'm gonna bring Chad into this bitter.
It's
rivalry.
One of those games
my parents
where
are trying to get a better shout out.
This is how you're gonna get the ultimate Christmas gift. Is this your angle?
Shh, don't tell them.
So going through Borderlands, once you've seen the like quality of life upgrades they give you, yeah. That's one of the ones that makes it hard to go back to.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. Like, cause I'm playing with Rachel, Steven, and Aaron, and Steven and Aaron have played, they've played all the way through, so they're definitely saying like, just wait until you get to 2. In 2, there's so much better quality of life upgrades that they keep forgetting aren't in this one.
Yeah.
I am playing the Game of the Year Enhanced Edition, which is super nice looking because it's like it's upgraded to HD quality. So I really like the cell shade style, yeah. And then the fact that it's in like HD just makes it really nice to play.
Cool. Emma Skies, I mean, you've been in like on the cosplay grind here, getting ready for Fanime. But
yes.
Have you had a chance to sneak any games in?
Not a bit.
Not at
all.
I
haven't played anything in like 2 weeks.
What was the last thing you played?
It's probably the Game of Thrones game. It's probably the last thing I played.
Did you beat that?
I did.
And how do you feel? Does it add to the storyline? If I'm really cheesed off because of the Game of Thrones finale, would this make me feel better?
I mean, it just gives you more content in the world. And I think if you're like looking to add something, it doesn't hurt. Because it takes place just after season 3. It takes place just after the Red Wedding.
Oh, snap.
And, like, it's in the timeline of the show, and it's all canon. Like, it's all supposed to be canon. They don't reference it all on the show, which is a bummer.
So are you saying this is good storytelling? Because we've seen the best of Game of Thrones. We've seen the bad. Are there legitimate, like Red Wedding type moments?
Yes, there are. There are some very Game of Thrones moments in it.
That's actually really cool.
A bunch of the actors are in it. Like Tyrion is played by Peter Dinklage, and Lena Headey's in it as Cersei, and Ramsay Bolton is in it. Marjorie. So like it's people
Marjorie.
From the show.
I forgot Marjorie.
What?
I liked Marjorie.
That's awesome.
Would recommend.
All right.
10 out of 10.
So, for me, it's just been the NBA 2K, and I was just blown away by how great that the storyline is.
Yeah.
And now I'm curious, though, because I've hit this part now where I'm kind of free in the world. I'm leveling up my character. You can go to the neighborhood.
The neighborhood, yeah.
And you can go buy your shoes, and, you know, it's pretty expansive. It's like an open world game where you interact with other players, too.
Did you go to the cages yet?
No.
It's like a court. It's like a court, like off to the side. So you have to go through, and there's trampolines inside of it. So you can bounce off the trampoline and do all this crazy dunks and all sorts of crazy stuff. We'll go on tonight. I'll show you guys around.
There's tattoo parlors.
Yeah,
there's all sorts of crazy.
By the way, bro, your cut was nice. When I went back and I was checking out the stream, I made a clip or two, and I was like, dude, this Corey's cut is.
Why are you playing on Golden State? Is that just where you ended up?
No, he's on. You're on Phoenix, right?
I'm on Phoenix, and I've watched a little too much Pawn Stars for my own good. I was getting my first NBA contract, and you get, like, a choice from all the teams. You could be a starter here and make this much, and there was, like, two teams at the top that were really interested in me and had good deals, and then the rest, and they were going to give me minutes and all this stuff.
Yeah.
But you could go in there and try and negotiate for more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So
you tried too hard.
I went full Pawn Stars, and I'm trying to trump these guys.
Yeah.
And I got trumped. Like
they declined the deal, didn't
both
they?
Like declined the deal, and it was like, oh, clearly you're not a rational human being, and ended negotiations with me.
Damn! What two teams was it?
It was the Nets and LA Lakers. And so I had to go like down to the third one, and I started softening up a little bit. And he was like, you know what? We can go talk to other players. I was like, okay, I'll take it. So I went with the third one, but. It's a tough game that really thinks of every little aspect.
Yeah, man.
That's funny.
Almost too much, though.
Yeah, to a degree.
Because some like in between matches, you have to go back to your locker room. You sit down in a chair.
Yeah.
You decide to stand up. You mosey on down to the court. Yeah. You could take some shots if you want. You watch Shaq talk for 5 minutes.
Now, you could skip majority of that part. And when you're in the locker room, the only reason you're in the locker room is to A, decide that you don't want to play and go back to the neighborhood, or B, the gear that you bought. Change your on-court gear.
Yeah.
Change your shoes and all
that stuff. Yeah, there's a lot to this game. And the biggest thing I was impressed with was how heavy they're pushing the esports. Just about every load screen launches a video that tells you like the latest scores and has something trying to sell you on this league. So they're
totally
putting a lot of money into it, and like more so than any other game, trying to direct people from the game itself to the esports.
Totally.
Overwatch doesn't even really do that too much.
No way.
Yeah, they'll put it up on the splash screen, you know, every once in a while and for big events, but there's no like huge push to get people there. Rocket League, the same thing. So I think some of those games could learn a lot from NBA 2K.
Yeah, I'd like to see all of esports, you know, go up a little bit.
So the soundboard is unfortunately busted, everybody. So
what a fucking tragedy.
I regret to inform you, there's no Emma's Telling the News theme song.
Guess we're just going to talk about the news.
Yeah.
So
what are we going to do with the extra 20 minutes?
So many more stories we can talk about. Hell is frozen over, everybody.
Really?
It is official. Microsoft and Sony are working together.
What?
In the gaming sphere.
Let's hold on. Let's
In
hold
the
on.
Gaming sphere.
Let's hold on, because it hasn't happened yet.
So,
and I will believe it when I see it.
Microsoft and Sony are partnering up for the development of cloud-based gaming. They're basically teaming up against Amazon and Google.
Smart.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean.
Yeah.
So via The Verge, they say Sony is now looking to Microsoft's vast cloud experience to help power its existing and future streaming services. And Microsoft is teaming with a rival to fend off far larger gaming threats. So negotiations for this started last year. And they're just now kind of coming to a head and being announced. So it was announced, I want to say, in an investor's call?
Yeah.
From Sony. But yeah, it's a, you know who did not see this coming? The PlayStation team.
That's.
They had no fucking clue.
Which is for the best. I mean, this is a groundbreaking deal deserving of like very high levels of need to know. So if they would have been pretty willy-nilly, I think with the employees, it probably would have leaked. And this,
but like, you don't got to tell everybody, but tell management. Like, the entire PlayStation team didn't know. Like, they found out when we found out.
Yeah.
Bloomberg was saying managers had to calm workers and assure them that plans for the company's next generation consoles were not affected. Because they had no idea what any of this meant, because nobody bothered to talk to them. Because I guess it was all handled by senior management in Japan.
Yeah.
And on Sony's side, at least. Mm. And then they were just like, we're going to put this out to the world.
Yeah.
And all these people that are working on the PS5 are like, what?
Yeah. Wait, what?
I don't know. Like, we've talked about it in the past before, and I'm seeing more news stories come out, because we did also get some, you know, in the next story we're going to roll on into, they're kind of connected, is that there's more PS5 stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically confirming that everything's backwards compatible because it's just a PS4 on steroids.
Yeah.
It's the PS5. So I can't see, I don't know.
Yeah, and they're wanting to expand their PlayStation Now service, which a lot of people don't really care about at this point because, like, it works fine, but there's no content, really, that anybody gives a shit about.
Yeah.
So this is going to be really big for them. I was looking at that Bloomberg article, and they were talking, like, they were kind of talking about, like, who wins in this? Like, is this a win for Microsoft? Is this a win for Sony? Is it good or bad for anybody? But they were talking about, like, in the short term, it probably benefits Sony. Because they did announce, you know, that they wanted to do more with cloud services. And, like, they basically can piggyback on Microsoft's Azure development that they've got going on. So in the short term, they're the ones that are going to win. But right now, Microsoft is probably going to be the long-term winner. Because it says, let's see, I wrote down the quote because I didn't want to fuck this up. Says they announced a lineup of services for game development and cloud hosting that it's hawking to game companies of all sizes. Landing console king Sony makes it more likely that Azure and not Amazon or Google becomes the industry standard for cloud deployment. So on Sony's side, like, they get to piggyback on this already developed program and hardware and software and stuff. But on Microsoft's side, they're just like, yeah, we'll let you use this because the more people that have it, the more likely it is that everybody's going to have it.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, okay, a few things.
Whoa, are you all right?
I was going to get worried eventually.
You just broke Curtis.
Breathe.
Nintendo is only not a part of this because they don't have much of an infrastructure for this, but really this is a move of two of the game console titans coming together so they don't go extinct because mm-hmm. you got these two tech companies that ain't into gaming trying to come and poach their land.
Yeah,
basically that's really what it is. They're just trying not to go extinct. Yeah, Microsoft, you know, probably benefit from, but at the same time, they're, I don't want to say they're two different target, but Sony is based in Japan. They're cool with like teaming up with Microsoft because Microsoft's primarily in US anyway, so all their like they neither of them really lose that much, and what they gain is not going extinct as I think they're still gonna go extinct, but just not as fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the new Microsoft that we've seen of the last couple of years is a whole different animal than the old one that we knew. Like back in the day, they were super proprietary, you know, with all their software. You know, you could only get Microsoft Word on a PC. And then once Satya Nadella came in, he started, you know, pivoting more towards being a software development company, and they started like opening up the floodgates to be on all their suites to be on Apple products.
Yeah.
And things like that. They'd rather, you know, not just fight these battles. So I think this is kind of another example of them doing that, making a sacrifice for a long-term play.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I mean, same thing. They had to adapt or go extinct. Microsoft, we saw what it was like before he got there, that new CEO got there. Like, it was going down. They weren't changing with the times. They were so used to being the kings of things and being able to control stuff. And then all of a sudden, it's like, okay, Apple's doing this. Oh, this Android OS is just on everything. They don't care. Us caring too much is hurting us. You know what I mean?
I think one of the things that hits me, too, when I first read this story was, oh, this is cute. The little console guys are trying to be PC games now. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, but that line is getting thinner and thinner every day.
Yep.
Between console and PC gaming. It's basically the same thing right now. You could hook up a mouse and keyboard and play on your Xbox.
Yeah.
So they're starting to have to concede that consoles don't really exist anymore. They're gaming PCs. And they're just expensive ones, but they're limited. But now the cloud's coming in, so they may not need – that's the only thing that means is they won't need the hardware anymore. So the hardware is going to be way less significant. It's all about that streaming infrastructure you have in place. And Xbox beats the shit out of PlayStations right now. So in that, we're probably going to see these exclusives start going away.
You know, fast forward 20 years and the next, you know, the Xbox of the time is probably going to be similar to like what we see with like Shadow. They developed, you know, that Shadow, I think it's called a Ghost. And basically all it is it's the most basic, you know, system where you could plug in a mouse and keyboard or a controller. It has an internet port and you get online and then you sign into the Shadow and everything's in the cloud and you don't need to worry about hardware and stuff like that. And that's what the next Xbox is going to be in, you know, 20 years. That's what we're going to see. It's just going to be an access to the service.
Definitely on our way to a lot of change. I think a very rapid change in the gaming industry. I think quicker than we've seen in the past, even though it's still a relatively young industry, so all change has been rapid. Mm-hmm. There is some concern about Microsoft and Sony teaming up because they are the two like biggest giants in console gaming, and there's some current concern over how antitrust regulators are going to take the two of them teaming up to seemingly take out their competition that can't possibly fight against that. But nobody fucking cares about that anymore.
Nobody
apparently
does.
If Disney can buy Fox and control Hulu, what are they even doing anymore? There's nobody there.
Well, let's like think about this too. Like those antitrust scale based off the size of the industry. Mm-hmm. That's why radio, like the one in your car, is so consolidated only into like one or two businesses right now, because there's just not that demand there once was for it. Before, that was TV. Yeah. You know, it was a huge industry. Now radio industry is kind of a dying dinosaur, losing out to streaming and the internet. So like these consoles, they're not going to have a lot of competition anymore. I think the people who are in the finale of this, you know, Game of Thrones are the ones who are dying. They're not adding any new characters.
That's a bummer, though. Like, you never want competition to die.
Well, for outdated technology, you kind of don't care anymore. Like, consoles just aren't a thing anymore. They're just not the same thing they are today. Console gaming in general is gaming. It's not so much based around these consoles. So if it's all going to streaming and software, I don't see the issue. Do you disagree?
I don't know. I think right now, it's too early to say that right now, I think. So, like, I'm fine with Microsoft and Sony teaming up for this. I just think in general, it's always a bummer for competition to die.
Well, it's the start of a new competition. Yeah. Like we were just like Curtis was saying, like these two are actually going to have to form together to fight against Amazon and Google. So this is the end of one battle and rolling right into the next one.
Well, but they have that foothold. They have that market share in gaming that Amazon and Google don't have. So even though they're industry giants in their own way, like they are not industry giants in gaming, and they're not household names in gaming. So like I think you can't really compare the two on that note.
I can see that. So then the only other big loser at this point would be
anybody else trying to make this.
Well, Nintendo, right? Who else is out there making? And Soulja Boy.
Oh, yeah. Can't Soulja Boy. Soulja Boy.
He's crushed right now.
He's the biggest. Yeah, he is the biggest victim in all of this.
He went, shoot.
Oh, shoot. But at the same time, also, this is a detail, but we have to remember they're collaborating. Like, one's not buying the other. They're not consolidating. They're collaborating.
No, but what it potentially could come down to is that Microsoft ends up being the one that, again, has that industry standard and has all of that, and Sony has to rely on that for the rest of this period of time where we're into this cloud-based gaming. Like, it's going to come down to, like, they are licensing the stuff for different games and different programs, and I'm trying, what is the word that I'm losing? There is a word. Services. The word is services.
Services. You're looking for the word services, Emma.
Services. And I don't even know what I was saying anymore because I got really messed up on forgetting the word services. Services. Services, everybody.
Services. They're important.
Services.
They're really important. What else we got?
Oh, you're talking to me. I don't know what it's. I can't.
It's
function
a Tuesday.
On a Tuesday.
You know, we didn't even disclose this, everybody, because this is still going to come out on a Thursday. So the listeners will remain unaffected. However, we decided
greatly affected, though.
We are greatly. There's something about Tuesdays. I don't know.
I don't know about you guys. I'm feeling great over here.
I know.
There's no problem over here. I'm loving this.
Curtis.
Hi, Dad.
Super sentimental.
For those of you on the podcast that aren't watching, what just happened that started this was Emma ended the story. Corey tried to get to the next one, and Emma looks at me and goes, "Can I have some of your energy drink?"
drink.
And then she forgets the word services.
Yep. Services, everybody. Slightly connected story. Sony presented a demo of the PS5 for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The as yet unnamed PS5. It was during an investors meeting. I assume in Japan because they were speaking in Japanese. if I had to take an educated guess.
New York.
It was in Japan.
All right.
But during an investors meeting, they were basically just demonstrating load times. So they demonstrated the load times for Spider-Man on the PS4 Pro versus the next gen. Mm-hmm. And on PS4 Poe Dameron, when they...
I'd buy that.
When you load in a Spider-Man level, you know, it takes roughly 8 seconds on the PS4 mm-hmm. Pro. It's a pretty fast load time. And Then they did it on the next gen, and it was less than a second.
Oh, that's just the average PC.
Anyway,
next story.
And and if I can speak, now that I know that I'm supposed to be speaking, that I guess, so this isn't an issue I've run into on Spider-Man, I guess because you can't move fast enough for it to be really an issue, but they were basically speeding through the city, speeding from different parts of the map in a way that you can't move that fast in the game to begin with. So it can't really handle that. So they did it on the PS4 Pro, it would stop and you'd get the loading symbol while it paused and tried to load, and then it would go again and it kept doing that. And on the PS, the next gen, they were able to just rapid fire speed through the entire city with completely seamlessly.
Dang.
And it's just going to be that SSD. That SSD is going to make a huge difference.
And read write speeds, though.
Yes.
Yeah. Is this a real story?
I mean, not really. It's
a piece. It's a faster PC. That's all these things are now.
I mean, honest,
it's not a console.
Hold on, wait.
It is.
To be completely honest, all of these things are computers.
They are computers.
All of them.
My fucking phone is a computer.
Yeah.
They're all computers.
It's all computers. It's just they either have a mouse and keyboard or they don't. Because all of them have processors and all of them have GPUs. They are totally computers.
Corey is only allowed to refer to his phone as a PC from now on.
Emma doesn't have a GPU.
This is true, but she's also not a computer.
She's a human being.
But she is a machine.
I was to say, You guys don't hang out with her nearly as much as I do outside the show.
This is true. I'll concede to you, sir.
Yeah.
But, so very exciting. I mean, it'll be a very, very long time before we see that. We said, they were saying not anywhere before 2021. So at this point, it doesn't fucking matter. It doesn't mean anything.
That's only 2 years away, though. I mean, that's only 2 years away. That's a year and a half away.
Yeah.
What's insane about that, though, is that technology that was making that thing exists right now in PC gaming. You don't have to wait.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally just a matter of having the processors and the parts come down to where it's affordable to actually be able to sell the thing. But that's all it ever is for all of technology. All the technology that we want exists somewhere in a room under lock and key until it's affordable.
Schrodinger's technology. It is Schrodinger's technology.
Along with the cat.
Schrodinger's Xbox.
That's right. I believe it.
Explain that. Explain that theory.
Well, the PS5 is in the box. Oh, you want?
Hang on.
Okay.
You want me to explain the theory of Schrodinger's cat?
No, I know the cat theory. I want to know how you molding that into an Xbox.
That's what he just said.
Hmm. Hmm.
You missed. It's like you missed the whole conversation.
No, I'm trying to see if you can explain it.
Tuesdays, am I right?
Tuesdays.
It's all about Tuesdays.
What's going on with Call of Duty?
There's some shit going on with Call of Duty.
Yeah, there is.
So I didn't even know about this because I feel like I have not heard anything about this until I literally went searching for it.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, it was breaking news on Saturday. It was all over Twitter.
So Call of Duty is disrupting their usual release schedule because since, 2012, the release schedule has been Infinity Ward, Sledgehammer, Treyarch? Or Infinity Ward, Treyarch, Sledgehammer?
One of those. So, Treyarch was always the last one. It was boom, boom, Treyarch. Boom, boom, Treyarch.
Yeah, Infinity Ward, boom, Sledgehammer, Treyarch. Okay. Yeah. Regardless, that has been the release schedule for, you know, the last however many years. So, because the one this year is going to be Infinity Ward.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that. I keep trying to say Avengers. It's driving me nuts.
It's going to be Infinity Ward.
Avengers Infinity Ward.
Call of Duty.
It's driving me fucking nuts.
They're all, plot twist, they're all crazy. None of them are super. They're all in an insane asylum.
But so until now, Raven, who has been working on Call of Duty multiplayer for the last decade, and Sledgehammer were leading the development on the 2020 installment of Call of Duty, because this year's as yet unnamed, but it's probably going to be Modern Warfare 4, is being led up by Infinity Ward. So 2020 was going to be Sledgehammer.
Modern Warfare. I thought it was Modern Warfare 5. Is it 4?
It's 4, right?
I don't know. I don't play this shitty game.
Anyway. Modern Warfare 4. Thank you, Web. Now I don't know what I'm saying anymore. This is a bad day.
So they're coming out. 2019 is staying the same with a Modern Warfare game. Yes. And then in 2020, though, Treyarch is going to take the lead. Yes. When it should actually be Sledgehammer.
Yes.
And Treyarch is coming out with what's probably going to be Black Ops 5. And Sledgehammer and Infinity Ward, along with Raven, are going to be basically taking a backseat and providing support to Treyarch.
Right.
Which is huge because, back when I played Call of Duty, I say that loosely, when I bought the three games that I did buy, the ones that you look forward to were Black Ops, because those were, the best ones. Treyarch was the best one at doing a story.
Modern Warfare 3 was really good.
Yes.
Yeah, the Modern Warfare ones were good. The Black Ops were good. I didn't really care about...
Not really, because I think it was Modern Warfare and then Modern Warfare 2 had essentially the same ending, just a palette, just like a skin
swap. Yeah, Modern Warfare
swap.
1 was really good, because that was the first one, and that was Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare.
Right.
And everybody, that was them coming back into, and we're not going to make these old, Medal of Honor
World
type games
War,
anymore.
Yeah.
We're not doing that anymore. We're doing Modern Warfare, and that was right. A big deal. And then 2 was kind of a dip. And then 3 was really good, wasn't it?
3 was good, but then they started doing Ghosts and...
That fucking sucked. Ghosts was
Advanced
the worst.
Warfare.
Advanced Warfare sucked. World War 2 was... I don't know.
World War 2 got stunted because Battlefield 1 came out, and Battlefield 1 looked way better than Modern Warfare World War 2.
Bummer.
So, basically, that's what this big story is. So, we're getting a new Black Ops game... sooner than
we
should.
Just had one last year.
Right, but those are the ones that historically do better and more players like, and so it's everyone's stoked because we don't have to wait another, 2 years. They just have to wait till next year.
Right. So instead of, because and the whole reason this schedule works, and I think what I took as the biggest takeaway from this is that the way the release schedule works is that they have a yearly release, but everybody gets 3 years to make a game.
Mm-hmm.
So Call of Duty still gets to put out a game every fucking year on the clock, but the studio doesn't have to make a game every year. They get 3 years to make a game. Not anymore, because at this point Treyarch has 2 years to make a game that they would have made in 3 years, and people at the company are already bracing for what's going to be a horrible crunch because they know it's coming.
Well, but is it though? Because it's not just going to be Treyarch working on it. It's going to be the other two studios, which they didn't do before. Before, it was it was Infinity Ward, it was Sledgehammer, and then Treyarch separately would work on their own games. But now you have Treyarch with the support of the other three.
Infinity Ward isn't on it. It's Sledgehammer and Raven are running support for it.
So even still, though,
do have that support system in place that they would not have had otherwise. And the good thing is they're basically taking... And I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing. They're taking the single player that they had been developing for their mm-hmm. 2020 Call of Duty game, because they've been in development for this game for a while.
Right.
So they're taking that, and they're just basically taking all of it and creating a Black Ops 5 campaign out of it. Which is good, because people, I think, were kind of annoyed with no campaign for Black Ops 4. It was one of those that even if a lot of, everybody doesn't play it, it just looked lazy.
Right. But they're still coming out. The weird thing about that, though, is they're still coming out with a Modern Warfare 4 game.
Yeah.
So it's still, so you're saying they're taking the campaign from that?
They're taking a campaign from the game that Sledgehammer was working
on. Okay. All right. Sorry.
Yeah.
Tuesday. Am I right?
Here's the drinking game. Take a shot every time one of us says Tuesday. There you go.
So
Tuesday.
I think the esports Tuesday. Might be having a little bit of effect here, and maybe the schedule going forward just for Call of Duty. Maybe, we have to prepare ourselves not to be getting one every single year.
Mm-hmm.
And that they're planning on slowing down, because just like Overwatch League, which is under Blizzard, which is Activision, which is Call of Duty. So same, people, they're together. They're making their own Call of Duty League, like the Overwatch League, where companies are paying millions and millions of dollars to get a local franchise for their cities.
Okay.
So they're actually following very closely with the Overwatch League. And when you're getting a bunch of companies to invest tens of millions of dollars for an esports franchise,
yeah,
they need some sort of security. And when it's been, this one's good and it's got a huge player base, this one sucks and everyone hates it, so they're playing the old one.
Yeah.
They need a very consistent one, and they probably picked Treyarch to take lead, or you know, because obviously their Black Ops ones always do the best.
Right.
Right.
And so they're like, all right, we're going to pitch. Now things are going to get a little bit more serious because we need more consistency. So we need to hit this out of the park every time now. Mm-hmm. That would be my – I think that's playing at least a small role.
Yeah, I can see that. Sensible. And now.
I got so distracted because Greg Sipes just liked to post a mine on Instagram and commented it on. I'm very sorry.
Who is that?
The voice actor for Beast Boy in Teen Titans.
Oh my god!
Just commented on my Beast Boy picture.
You're going viral again. What's going on with this?
I got very excited.
Sorry, that one's on me because I showed her it and she just lost her shit as quietly.
I'm professional.
As quietly as anybody has ever lost their shit. Shh, that's how.
Because I'm a professional and I'm not on my phone while we're here.
On a Tuesday.
Not sure Tuesday. If it's Tuesday now or that everyone's on their phones.
So, it's Tuesday.
The big story that we have, and I think that a lot of people are talking about right now, is the esports bullshit that's going on around the Tfue and FaZe Clan.
Yes.
I cannot believe I'm an adult that has to say Tfue about 50 times in the next 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And Fortnite.
We just call him Turner? His name's Turner, right?
Yeah.
No, he legally changed it to Tfue. Legally. The artist formerly known as Taylor. Formerly known as Tfue.
Turner?
Taylor?
Turner.
Turner.
Okay.
Tuesday.
Okay.
Taco Tuesday.
I think we're starting to get to the bottom of this, Curtis. I don't know if it has anything to do with Tuesday or...
Is it just tease?
I think it's just David.
Alpha Web giving off that Tuesday energy over here?
I think so.
Alpha Web is not up to his normal alpha standard.
He was blasting his Beastie Boys on the way home from work, and something happened.
We got Chad David.
Anyway, Tfue and FaZe Clan, which is a sentence I just had to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Tfue, you know way more about this, so I'm just going to let you take the lead on this one.
So Tfue is one of the top Fortnite content creators out there. You know, like he throws down with Ninja and all these guys. Like he's tippity top. And he's part of FaZe Clan, which has like the largest collection of these level of influencers. And FaZe is old school. They've been around since like old school Call of Duty days doing trick shots and stuff like that. Then they kind of turned it into a lifestyle vlogging thing.
Yeah.
And right now they are the IT team.
Yeah.
They have deals with Champion. You know, they have deals with, big car sponsorships.
That's
they
crazy.
Have mansions on mansions. And
they do.
These dudes, and Tfue specifically, makes millions every month
that's
coming out of these reports. So all that to be said, out of nowhere, it kind of happened where, a report came from Hollywood Reporter saying that Tfue is suing FaZe for like negligent contracts, like bad illegal contracts in California. And it kind of just took everyone by storm. We were on our morning call and someone's like, oh my god, do you see what's happening with FaZe? And we all click over and we're like, holy shit, this is big time. And they're saying, you know, according to this original report, which is his lawyer and him saying that the contract, they were taking like 80% of some of his deals. They are blocking him from taking other opportunities that could build up his career.
Yeah.
And then just to make things even worse, he starts saying that they pressured him into underage drinking, illegal gambling, that they signed an 11-year-old player and was trying to, you know, pressure his parents.
Like say he's a different age.
Say he's 13, which is the minimum age to be in the competitions, I guess.
Yeah. And it all came out one-sided and with no warning.
Yeah.
And there was like the silent period where everyone just started immediately hopping on cancel culture. Like, let's FaZe Clan sucks. Tfue's the man. Because Tfue has a
huge following.
Huge following and a very loyal following. And, not for like the wrong reasons typically. You know, he's not terrible.
Yeah, you don't really hear his name come up in controversy too often.
Yeah, exactly. He's not one of those dudes. So, you know, it kind of looked super one sided.
Yeah.
And then people started kind of getting in, like Nadeshot started saying some stuff, and then Banks must have just woke up. Who's
the yeah, seriously, who's the FaZe? the loudest. Well, he's kind of like the leader of FaZe Clan.
Yeah. Right?
Well, he says, because he put out a video and he says, you know, I am, like, this is me. Like, I think he said, you know, I don't think that Tfue is coming after me personally, but when you come after FaZe Clan, like, I'm FaZe Clan.
Right. Yeah. And he started pulling up, you know, this was the hard thing. And Banks is very emotional.
Clearly.
He wears his emotions together, on his sleeve,
sir.
Yeah.
He's very much a hard on his sleeve type of dude, you know. And so he comes out more just upset and just starts just going to, he goes to war. With
which is not the way to conduct this.
Yeah. It may win the internet's favor because, you know, even Keemstar, who's like all into FaZe, came in and with the original report started kind of, you know, bandwagoning. And a lot of people were.
Yeah.
And then Banks starts going off and he goes on Keem's like show and starts, you know, setting the record straight and pretty much churn the court of public opinion in less than 24 hours completely against Tfue.
Totally.
And I watched all the videos.
Well, you kind of, what you do, you kind of have to.
Yeah, I just want to see what was happening. And so I start watching his videos and the parts that were like, he has really strong claims about FaZe's contracts and he's, you know, screenshotting them and posting them. So I think his information.
Then countersue.
Yeah, I
like none of it means anything unless he actually countersues or like fights it legally. If you can go on YouTube and get real upset and say a bunch of stuff, but that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, and in fact it could damn your case later because me being as impartial and just trying to look at the facts as possible. Like if he would have just came out with that FaZe statement and a couple of other documentations that he put out, you know, it would have been one thing, but. He was going for everything. I made this kid. I am FaZe. And a lot of the things he was saying was hitting me as like, oh, now you're just overselling it a little, man. Yeah. You probably don't even have to come out and sound like that. Because when you're talking about I made somebody.
Well, let me ask it. And I'm not disagreeing with you, but this is funny. I found out about FaZe Clan through FaZe Banks because I just followed a bunch of like YouTube influencers and stuff like that. And that's how I found out about him. So I found out about FaZe Clan way later. Do you watch any outside of this? Are you kind of familiar with FaZe Banks?
Nope.
Not him.
Okay. No. This is how he is.
Now, and I'm sure it is, but that's a bad way to be.
I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying he's not turning up for this. He turns up for everything. Like, so he always gets super emotional, over emotional on things and oversells everything because he's a YouTube influencer. That's what they do. They oversell and under deliver, and it's sad that it works.
But like, you got to know when to not do that. You have to be smart enough to be like, hey, this is a legitimate legal fight.
Sure.
And this is not the time for me to act like this.
Yeah, and he's not smart enough to do that because that's not the type of person he is. He showed who he is. This is the kind of person he is. But I wanted to bring up a few things because we kind of been kind of
jumping around
through the story. Yeah. So as far as the lawsuit claims, Tfue, whose real name is Turner Tenney, alleges in his lawsuit to be under an oppressive contract that, as Corey said, limiting his outside earnings. Also said that along with those claims, he was pressured into moving into the FaZe Clan mansion in L.A. This is
which
all
they call the Clout House.
Is the Clout
if I remember
House?
Correctly.
Yeah.
Good
yeah.
God.
Well, that's only one of the mansions, but that's the main one.
Judging that their name is FaZe Clan, there's a way worse names that they could have named their house. I'm just saying.
No lies detected. Along with that, he was talking about the dangerous antics that he was pressured into, along with being pressured into drinking before he was 21. He is now 21. He also stated that in one of the stunts, he injured his arm, causing, quote, permanent disfigurement, end quote. And he was contending that these actions, along with the expectations, you know, to continue to stay on FaZe Clan, violate California labor laws and should void the current contract that he has under FaZe Clan.
Right, that's his whole thing, is he's trying to get out of his contract. Like, he's trying to get out of his contract, leave them, and like fucking sue them. Yeah. But he talks about they're taking an 80% cut of his sponsorship deals. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people, you know, FaZe comes out and says, we've never taken a dime of his prize money. I'm like, he didn't say you took his prize money. That doesn't mean, he's like, we've never taken 80% of his prize money. But that's not what he said. He said you took 80% of his sponsorship deals. So what it looks like happened is FaZe comes out and says, you know, we've only ever made $60,000 off this person. You know, in the year that we've had him, we've made $60,000 and that's it. And, you know, this kid has made millions is what he's alleging. And that, you know, we do not take that much out of their sponsorship deals. And he throws up a part of the contract. He's like, what he could be referring to is the fact that if, basically, if Tfue were to get a sponsorship deal with somebody that he was introduced to by FaZe Clan, by the organization, then they would be entitled to 80% of that deal.
Up to
80% of that. And he's like, well, we never collected on that. We never collected on that. That's, you know, he's lying. I'm like, you just threw the contract up. It is literally in your contract with him. That is horrible.
So it's kind of the thing where, so Tfue hasn't even, I think, made an official statement on this. It was just this report that came out. And
right. No.
His, well, he hasn't. His lawyer has.
But that was it. We haven't had a because then FaZe started going through. And like I was saying.
Well, they put out an official statement, too.
There's two things. There's the court of law.
Yeah.
And then there's the court of public opinion.
Right.
And so I think what's going to end up happening here is that technically, by technicality, no matter what FaZe Bank says, because FaZe Banks is saying like, oh, he drank way before. Here's a video of him pounding a beer when he was 18.
Yeah, in Mexico.
You know, yeah, here's the thing of, you know, we pressured him into jumping off shit. He jumped off shit before that, and he was showing him do all these extreme stunts.
Yeah.
So the court of public opinion is like, oh, yeah, he drank before. They didn't pressure him into drinking. But
That's so shitty.
But the court of law is like, if that's your mansion, you have to be responsible to it to a degree. And if you know there's a bunch of people that are underage drinking, doesn't matter what he did before. As an adult, as the person he's kind of employed to, you are responsible for certain safeties and protections. So that's why I'm saying that, like, the court of public opinion right now is all back in FaZe Clan's court. And Tfue hasn't really put out a second statement saying otherwise.
Yeah. Well, and I think the big takeaway from this and the big importance of this is going to be the court of law. It's not going to the court of public opinion, that whole thing, like FaZe versus Tfue, that doesn't fucking matter. That's going to last a week and nobody's going to care about it anymore. What's going to have a lasting impact is the actual court case of this, because it's going to change everything in the way that these esports contracts are drawn up. You cannot tell me that esports organizations are not pouring over their contracts right now and changing shit, because, you know, all these smaller organizations that have, you know, maybe they outsource their legal to write their contracts and have a template that they hand out to everybody. And they're like, well, fuck, what's actually in that?
Yeah.
Because could we get sued? Is it going to hurt us? Is it, or, you know, this, because this is like an ongoing problem in esports, isn't it? Like, this is not.
Yeah, there's a lot of companies out there who have awful contracts. And then there's a lot of other famous cases of people who don't pay their players the money they owe them. And they just run right off into the sunset. So, like, it is not very regulated right now.
Absolutely not. And that's part of what the lawsuit talks about, is because, like, this is because this is an industry that has no regulations for the most part, or oversight, because it's so new and it's so, like, nobody really understands kind of where to fit it. There's no legal recourse for a lot of these people, or at least there's no legal recourse that they're aware of. They don't have anybody in their corner.
I think, go ahead.
No, well, that's part of business, though. Like, when you don't sign a contract if you don't know what it means.
Well, right, but when your organization is signing 15-year-olds.
Yeah, 11-year-olds.
Where are their parents at?
That's true, but their parents aren't lawyers.
Why aren't they? That's all I'm. I'm not defending FaZe Clan, because I don't have no. I don't care about FaZe Clan.
Yeah.
I don't care about Tfue. But all I'm saying is I'm not saying it's right or wrong. All I'm saying is business is business. When it comes to business, you got to protect yourself. If you're expecting the next person to look out for you, you're gonna get screwed. You have to read your contracts. You have to take them to lawyers. You have to. If you're a minor, you shouldn't be signing nothing. Your parents shouldn't even be letting you sign something without them, or going back and saying it's null and void and he doesn't even have XYZ. But I don't even know if you can sign certain contract if you're underage. But
it's predatory, because they know that. They're like, this 16-year-old is not going to read this contract, doesn't know any of this. Or even if they're not a minor, this 20-year-old is not going to read a contract.
I barely read contracts.
Well, most people don't, but that's my thing is, that's what it's a reminder for, because every business that, like, let's not even start talking about the music business. Every business, whether it's two big companies going against each other or a smaller party and a larger party, there's contracts. If you don't read and you sign, you made a mistake, and you're gonna have to learn from it. And this is nothing new. It doesn't matter that, like, if contracts ain't new, esports is new. Right. Contracts ain't new.
Right.
Yeah.
You better go about it the right way. Now, I'm glad that he looks at this contract and he feels that it is oppressive and he is going to a lawyer. That is your recourse. You can sue. Yeah. If you went, but don't even put yourself in that position. Read it.
Well, I think that's why I'm saying, like, I think the bigger takeaway here is going to be the effect it has on esports as an industry.
Yeah.
Because this is going to, it's going to be a wake up call that every single player should have a lawyer and an agent.
Straight up.
You should never, ever, ever deal with an organization by yourself.
I agree.
Ever. You need to have a lawyer. You need to have an agent.
Yep.
Your employer cannot act as your agent.
Conflict
and should
interest.
Not be acting as your agent. Yeah. Legally, they can't. And that's kind of the thing here is that, mm-hmm. like, FaZe was either sabotaging or not allowing deals for Tfue. Like, he was not allowed to go seek deals by himself, which limits his own viability in the marketplace, which is bullshit.
I was gonna ask about that because that was one of the things that I didn't get to hear any side on. I like, minus his just saying he hasn't been able to, but it was weird. Like, so in what way was FaZe stopping him, or is it that he just didn't like the cut that FaZe was getting because he didn't read the contract?
Here's why that happens, though. So, like, a lot of the esports organizations, you know, sign the players, pay them salaries so that they can, you know, not have to worry about getting a job or anything.
Yeah, so they can focus
and they
on
can
their
grind the game and get, you know, and then they'll fly them out to do events.
Right.
And and they use that clout and visibility to get attract sponsors.
Right.
Which, you know, they generates most of their income because they don't really, you know, you can't guarantee your guy's going to win every time.
Yeah.
And the players are expensive.
Yeah.
So, you know, they go out and seek these big sponsorships with Logitech or something. And so that's the name sponsor. That's who's on your banner. That's who's on your jersey.
Yeah.
And so if we send, you know, Nairo out to an event, he's wearing Logitech. That's getting them value, helps us pay to keep him, you know, and we all.
Yeah. Basic sponsorships and promotions. Basic. Like NBA is the same.
Yeah.
Almost everything is
so
the same.
So the reason why they would limit Tfue, and now amplify that times a million. You know, Tfue's super popular. He has more visibility than anybody, but he's wearing the FaZe Clan.
Right.
And FaZe Clan sponsored by Mitsubishi.
Right.
And Ford wants to give Tfue a shitload of money to put that on there, but Mitsubishi already paid FaZe.
So right.
That's why they would put that in the contracts, that Tfue can't go get his own sponsors. And I know with Energy, we have players that get other sponsors, and if they don't conflict with ours, they can do whatever they want.
Right.
You know, so I think that's why that clause is in there.
That's what they're arguing is illegal. Is they're saying that, you know, your employer limiting your own ability, because it's not, you know, he's not seeking for his team. He's seeking, like, for his personal channel, his personal whatever. Like, he's not allowed to do any of that. And they're basically saying you're limiting his own viability in the marketplace. As his employer, you're attempting to act as his agent. That's illegal. You can't do this. It's bullshit.
Let me,
I understand both sides. Yeah, like, I understand that from the org's point of view. Like, it makes no sense to have one of
David,
your star players, you know, representing a brand that's a direct competitor. To your organization's sponsor.
Right, yeah. Right.
So it's like, well, to me, it kind of equates to traditional sports. And you have, like, the Kings, I think that they're now sponsored by Nike. It was Adidas, right?
But the whole NBA is sponsored by Nike. The Kings' other sponsor is Blue Diamond.
Blue Diamond. Okay.
Yeah.
But so let's say, you know, okay, so we'll just use the NBA. So it's Nike. Yeah. So you can't have an NBA player going and do something for Adidas if they're sponsored by Nike.
So they can, but there's a limit. But there's a limit to it. Like,
okay.
Within that. So like Marvin Bagley is signed to Puma.
True.
So he can wear Puma shoes, but he can't wear any Puma clothing.
Okay.
It's a little more specific, but
yeah,
same principle.
But they don't, like, hands down say you cannot have this, you can't have this, you can't.
No,
have
they
this.
Do.
Well,
they do.
They do.
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
So he
like J.R. Smith got a Supreme tattoo on his leg, and it violates the contract with the NBA. He has to put a thing on his. And that's what I was going to ask, because I was like, I was thinking that's kind of similar to my job where I work. If I tried to go get a job with, like, another competitor, like at an electronics company, that's a conflict of interest with my job because that's a direct competitor. I can't go make money off of Android when I work where I work.
So why people sign non-compete clauses even.
Yeah.
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 So I think having those two, maybe that's the biggest problem, is having those two is, like, you are not allowed to go out on your own and find sponsorships.
Mm-hmm.
And if we give a sponsorship to you, yeah. we can take up to 80% of that.
Right.
So, like, you're going to put that clause in there that says it's only for sponsorships that we get for you.
Right.
And then tell him you can't find your own sponsorships. The only sponsorships you can have are the ones we give to you.
Yeah. So I think that I think that's where the fault is mm-hmm. it needs to be rewritten to where, like, you can go out and get, like what Corey was saying, you can go out mm-hmm. and get your own sponsorships as long as it doesn't conflict with what FaZe has. So if FaZe is sponsored by you know, Logitech, you can't go out and get sponsored by HyperX.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Unless it's like, you know, you can, you know, FaZe is sponsored by Logitech, you know, keyboards.
Well, that's the one. Like they,
but HyperX, you know, you can get headsets from them.
Yeah
that's right. The one is that in the lawsuit, he alleges that they kept him from a HyperX sponsorship deal.
Okay.
Hmm. Yeah, so I guess it would depend on what the HyperX sponsorship deal is. Like if you know you're sponsored by Logitech for headphones, and you know HyperX is coming at Tfue saying, hey, you know, we want to sponsor you for headphones. Mm-hmm. Well, it conflicts with his FaZe sponsorship,
right?
So I mean, to me, it kind of makes sense, and it goes back to the NBA example. Yeah. You know,
similar. Conflict of interest type thing.
Conflict of interest.
But this is the reason why this is big, like Emma is saying, because it's going to help shape it. Even because contracts are contracts. Everything's negotiable.
Right.
You either like something in the contract or you don't, and you try to renegotiate that out or substitute it, whatever. But just like defining it, because that's the same thing happened with the NBA. But that's why the NBA is a little more specific now. Hey, you could do the shoes, but you can't do the XYZ. Mm-hmm. So the same thing's got to happen. We need more clearly defined lines, more transparency, so it's very apparent. And for these people who are signing these contracts, oh, that really limits me. I don't like that, because it's true. It sucks, but up to is in a lot of contracts. And what happens is usually the bigger the leverage you have, the more you can negotiate it. Tfue, he probably would have never gotten 80 taken out. But because he can actually negotiate, but just right. based off the fact that it's in there, that's a red flag.
Yeah, I think. And they said that is no longer in their contracts. They said that that's in the existing contracts, but mm-hmm. new contracts starting like earlier this year didn't have that in there.
Uh-huh.
But anybody and everybody's like, well, then you should have redone these fucking contracts.
Yeah.
And so they're alleging that, you know, we've been trying to redo Tfue's contracts,
right.
and you know, he's either just stonewalling us. He's like, they're like, he and his agency or he and his lawyers, you know, aren't accepting anything. I'm like, but it just feels very much like what we're getting from FaZe is a lot of picking and choosing what information to divulge.
Well, yeah, what's crazy is that Banks, and he's got all these documents saying that the only money that they've ever taken, they've only made $60,000 off of Tfue.
Which is bullshit.
So here's their official response on that. It says, we are shocked and disappointed to see the news of Tfue's press article and a lawsuit. Over the course of our partnership with him, which began in April 2018, FaZe Clan has collected $0 tournament winnings, $0 Twitch revenue, $0 YouTube revenue, $0 of any social platform. In fact, we have only collected a total of $60,000 from our partnership, while Tfue has earned millions as a member of FaZe Clan. While contracts are different with every player, and that's just like the NBA, mm-hmm. nobody has the exact same contract, but there's a lot of reoccurring things.
And they all have agents.
Right. Because it's more established. Yeah. Same thing. It wasn't even always like that in the NBA. But that's why progress is important. It has earned millions as a member of FaZe Clan. While contracts are different with every player, all of them, including Tfue's, has a maximum of 20% to FaZe Clan in both tournament winnings as well as content revenue, with 80% to the player. In Turner's case, neither of those have been collected by FaZe Clan. We are proud of what we've accomplished together over the past year with Turner, and will continue to support him. So, yeah, I mean, same thing within there. There's like very specific parts that they were more than happy to put in.
Right. And what kills me is that mm-hmm. that 60,000 number. They're like, we have made only $60,000. We've made only $60,000 off our partnership deals with this. And I'm like, that's one of those things that maybe legally, technically true, but that leaves out all the money that having Tfue on your team brings
all the
into
merch
your organization.
Sold, all
and
that.
That's the biggest mm-hmm. bullshit.
Yeah, totally.
I think the underlying issue is that esports, this whole industry, it's still the wild, wild west.
It's totally
100%.
There's no, people don't know how to regulate it. it's ran, you know, these some of these teams and, you know, streaming groups are ran by, you know, 20-somethings. They don't know what they're doing.
Right.
And so I think that's the problem is, you know, it's we're trying to apply, you know, traditional business practices to something that's being ran by kids.
Yeah.
And they don't think about stuff like this.
Nope. And what usually happens in that scenario is older predatory lawyers and business managers partner with them and be like, oh, by the way, did you know you could put this in the contract?
Because you know that org has a legal team. Doesn't matter that little 20-year-old over here who doesn't know his ass from his elbow doesn't have a legal team.
Exactly.
Because that actually helps them out a lot. So there's somebody I'm going to follow on Twitter is Ryan Morrison, who's a video game attorney.
Yeah, that dude's man.
He's always super outspoken about this. So I was really interested to see what his take would be on this. So he's kind of been tweeting about it, and he's like, basically, he's very happy. And he's kind of says the same thing. He's like, this is going to change esports. Like, this is badly needed. And he was talking about, he's like, this is not a FaZe problem. This is an industry problem, and FaZe is being blamed for it right now. Like, obviously, they're in the wrong, but, like, everybody fucking does this, you know? This is not a rare problem.
Yeah.
And because I'm reading an article, he did an interview with ESPN. He says it's like a high school band that gets a 100-page contract from a record label. They're not reading the contract. They're just excited that someone wants to pay them for their music, and they're signing it.
Yep.
Here are these players who've been working their asses off for years to become the best in the game they're playing. So when someone wants to legitimize them and pay them for it, they're happy to sign anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ryan Morrison is really good friends with the president of Energy, Brett. Those two.
Nice.
And Brett came up from the talent agency world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
that's good.
And then Andy Miller, obviously established businessman. Mm-hmm. So my experience in esports from the beginning feels like it's been one of progression, where when I see all this stuff, it just kind of all makes sense. And to be honest, like, FaZe is one of those other ones that's never, ever, like, been called out for anything bad. So while these contracts might have been drawn up by old lawyers, I do believe that.
Like,
this FaZe doesn't have a history of screwing over its talent. But when you start going into these other issues, you have to grow up. And having a clout house with alcohol where minors can drink is an issue. Like, that's something that we take seriously at Energy. Like, there's regulation because, like, we're liable at that point.
Yeah. And liable. Even if you can tell yourself, you know, I'm not being malicious, I didn't put this in the contract, I'm not out to gouge these people, you're also not looking out for them. And you should be looking out for the members of your team.
Yeah.
And they clearly didn't at this point, because you never, ever, ever should have allowed a clause in your contract that says 80% for anything.
Yeah.
That's the most predatory bullshit. And a 20-year-old kid signed that. That's crazy.
Yeah, but... Yeah.
And, like, yes, he's an adult and he should have known better, and it's a, you know, whatever. But, like, doesn't mean
legally,
it's not.
He's crazy. Legally an adult.
My thought is when I hear that too is that the contract was written, drawn up that way as an up to, because there's no one size fits all.
Right.
Like, everybody's different. Like Curtis was saying, Tfue has a lot of clout and can, you know, argue for a better percentage. But if they're bringing a big fat sponsorship to, you know, and need players for an activation that aren't megastar level, you know, paying them, you know, a low percent makes sense. You know, like, it has to be reasonable based on the ask and the sponsor and what they want. Like, what do you mean?
I mean, I just don't love that. I don't love that you're going to use somebody for an activation, and you wouldn't be able to do it if you didn't have these people. Maybe it didn't need to be that specific person, but you need bodies in the chair, and you need that person. And you're going to be like, well, you don't matter so much, so we're going to take 80% of this. But he matters, so we're only going to take 20% of it. Like, yes, it's different for everybody, but 80% is predatory, I think, no matter what the level is.
That's why I said up to that 80%.
I know.
So I don't see a scenario where 80%... I mean, actually, I do see a scenario where 80% would be reasonable, to be honest. Like, if it's a big deal, and you really just need players, and they're going to get compensated a portion of that percentage on top of what's already their salary and the things they already make, and it's a brand deal. I think there should be ability to slide that number around, but I think it's a case by case basis, and I think you shouldn't put a, you know, I don't know, I'm conflicted on it, because I could see both sides very easily, and I know that there's the big megastars, and then there's the ones who, You know, they just need to go run and activate. Like we do them all the time.
I think the bigger thing is because all contracts are negotiable. But I think the bigger thing is when contracts come up, this is a wake up call for players. Like Emma was saying, have an agent. Have some sort of representation. Look over it so that way you make sure that it does not feel predatory and whatnot to you. Because yes, it's true, everything is negotiable, but if you sit up there and we have this theme of nobody having anybody look over stuff and look out for them, then this is gonna continue.
You definitely gotta.
Well, and even beyond telling players, like, you should really have a lawyer, you should really have an agent, you know, having it be required that there's a mediator or a third party or somebody that's not connected that can say, hey, this is predatory. This is not, you know, a good contract. Or, this is an okay contract. You know, it doesn't violate any regulations. Or just putting regulations in place, having legislation, because that's what this is going to come down to. There needs to be regulation on this.
Yeah.
No, and it's going to be weird to see how that works out, because video games and legislation do not always go so well together, because the people writing the legislation don't understand it.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that it's done in conjunction with people that actually know what they're doing, whether it's talent agencies or lawyers that specialize in this kind of stuff.
Which there are now some amazing ones. There are.
Yeah, we're coming along.
The going back to just the final thought about the, so we spent a lot of time talking about the court of law,
right?
But that court of public opinion is very important, especially for these people, because their whole leverage, what makes them valuable, is their presence on Twitch and YouTube.
Yeah.
Like, these guys can go live and pull an audience easily of very impressionable millennials, ages 13 to 30.
There is not a single millennial 13 years old.
Well,
okay. What's the next one?
Gen X.
Whatever. But still, like, they're pulling these massive crowds. And if FaZe Clan and all of the FaZe people say that Tfue's a liar and he's bullshit, and it comes out that, you know, he comes out as exposed, mm-hmm. you know, regardless of the law, but the people just think that, he could lose the viewership, and all these sponsorships he's fighting for to get, you know, all his power goes away really quick. So I'm really expecting a statement from him soon. Otherwise, he's just going to keep quiet, cross his fingers, and pray that he can keep his viewership, because they'll drop fast.
Yeah, they could. Yeah, they could. I think I like the fact that at least, he didn't pull a FaZe Banks and just come out, you know, with some super emotional statement.
Yeah.
Like, he probably is doing the right thing, showing the rest of these guys, like,
his,
hey,
lawyers are telling him to do the right thing here. They're like, even if you want to, it would be bad for your case to make an emotional plea.
Because it could flip-flop, but potentially what he could lose from the lawsuit that he's suing could be much bigger than the drop in viewership and whatnot that he gets. This lawsuit can set him up to not even have to stream ever again.
That's true. Well, he already doesn't have to. Millions on millions every month.
This is true.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode of Video Game Bang. I always love when we could talk a little bit of esports and stuff. That's nice and fun.
Yes.
We are doing a podcast on our Patreon that's coming to a conclusion. It's called Bang of Thrones, and it's our weekly review and recap of the Game of Thrones Season 8. Needless to say, I think the show underwhelmed us
100%
quite a bit.
I was just whelmed.
But we're gonna record that after this, so if you guys want to listen to that, you can do it on patreon.com/videogamebang. We're so close to our goal. I think we're less than $10 away from the first goal. And thank you to people out there like Jay Wheeler, Antonio, Robert Gutierrez. You guys are the homies. We also want to thank Good Day Sacramento for having us back. Me and David were on Good Day Sacramento last week.
That was a lot of fun. Yeah, I like going on the show.
Tina Makua is the homie.
Tina is. Cambi was funny, too, wanting to know, because I wrote who I thought was going to be it, but she was like, no, like, I want to know who you want to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, which we all, the three of us, me, you, and Tina all had the same answer, pretty much.
Yeah.
Tina, like, we're way off.
I'm glad Tina's nice, because, like, we grew up with her.
Yeah.
She's always been on Sacramento television, and then you meet your heroes, and they don't let you down.
On that note, I'm going to give you this right meow.
Oh, my God. I forgot. Yeah. So we made a little VGB side bet.
I am so happy I wasn't there.
Yeah. It went swimmingly.
I don't think it went as swimmingly as you thought it did. It could have been more subtle.
You know what? But honestly, I watched it and I did not know it was coming. When I saw it, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, just kind of slipped it in there.
When have I ever been subtle, David Webb?
If there was to be a time on live TV, it would have been the time to do it.
Curtis.
Oh no! Trust me. I will walk out here right now. If we think that Good Day Sacramento is the height of what we're gonna be on, y'all better have more faith than that.
We'll do it when we're on Drama Alert with Keemstar.
Okay, there we go.
Our peak. No, Curtis dropped a little thing in there that said if one of you says meow on Good Day Sacramento, I'll give you $20.
And I was totally joking. I did not think that anybody would take me serious.
I know you were joking, but the second I saw that, I was like, fuck, he's going to do it. The second you put that in the chat, I was like, why? You know he's going to do it.
And she just got done saying, hey, guys, be normal. We want them to ask us back on the show.
I threw it in there pretty slyly.
I think so.
I said, meow. What a season.
Meow. Game of Thrones.
I say that all the time on the show.
I hate this.
Listen to the last episode. I'm pretty sure I slipped a meow in there. So thank you, Curtis, for the $20.
You got it, my friend.
Appreciate that. And
I'm a man of my word, like Thanos.
Thank you to Good Day Sacramento for having us back. Stream schedule, Emma. You going to get back on any games before Fanime this weekend?
No, I got work to do.
All right. David Webb?
I don't know. Follow me on Twitter. I don't have a stream schedule. It's whenever I have time and feel like it.
2K, man. You got to get out of. You got to get into the NBA at least.
Yeah. Maybe on one of the games I have it on.
One of the five copies of 2K.
I have it on my iPad. I have it on my phone.
Oh, I have it on my phone too.
Oh, the app.
Oh, for the love of God.
Yeah.
Curtis. Great. What are you streaming this week?
I'm good. Well, because this is Tuesday and not Wednesday, I will be streaming me reading the comics that we get from Oblivion Comics and Coffee. Okay. And then I will be reviewing them on the Video Game Bang channel.
Cool.
So you guys can still tune in on Wednesday for a little tiny bit of VGB. And other than that, I bought a PS4 camera because part of my streaming setup went down. So I've just been going live on that 2K, baby.
All right. And then, David, I feel like didn't we have to plug something for you? Like you were doing something.
I don't think so.
If not, I'll cut this segment, but fuck. You sure? There's gotta be something you were doing.
99% sure.
God, don't you have a life, David?
No.
Never really.
It's pretty much work in this. I mean, you catch me on the next episode of Video Game Bang. We can plug that.
All right. For Emma Skies, the real David Webb, Curtis Fisher, my name is Corey, saying you've just been banged.